and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word there means the trickery or the deception of Satan. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Stand therefore, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. I want to talk to us just for a few minutes, both to saint and those who are seeking God here today that may have never received him, his spirit into your life, or been baptized in his name, but you hunger for him and you feel him. And life is a struggle. I want to talk to us today about standing in the end time. Standing in the last days. I believe we are living in the last days. Well, the apostles said we were living in the last days. We've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. And if the last days are for the next 2,000 years, that is God's preference. That is his prerogative. It is our duty to stand. And when we've done all we can to stand, we are just to stand there for. Father, the next few minutes I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts and our minds, that you will minister through the word of God. We are begotten by the word. Let the word go forth. Let it get in the hearts of each and every individual that is here today. Strengthen us, God. Give us the power. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil, against the principalities and the powers of wickedness in high places, God. We pray it, we ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's clap our hands to the Lord in victory. Will you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just give a big hearty hallelujah. Shout it again. One more time. Woo, God's awesome. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to just start out here today by letting us know, if you think it's going to be easy to stand in the last days, then you will be one of the first to fall. The word of the Lord tells us that he that thinketh, beware, he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. The last thing we need to be is arrogant in the spirit, arrogant in thinking we've got our act together in the Holy Ghost and everything is under control. We should always be watching. We should always be aware. We should always be on the alert. We should always be on the top of that tower with our eyes wide open, looking for the deception of the adversary. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We are aware of how he comes in to deceive. And we need to continually make our ourselves aware of his presence. Word of the Lord tells us in the last days, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 27. And this word ye once more signify the removing of those things that are shaken, and all those things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Another place tells us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But there is a way, even in the darkest hour, to assure yourself that when the greatest shaking of the spiritual world comes, I can find my feet planted upon solid ground. And while everything around me is falling, everything around me is stumbling, everything around me is crumbling, I can be assured that I will stand strong on the word of God. We live in perilous times, and many things are being shaken. We visit, as I said to you earlier, just a few moments ago, we visit the youth facilities of incarceration where young men and women are incarcerated there because of thievery, or there because of murder, there because of drugs, there because of such a list of things that may be in their line of record. And there they find themselves bound in hand and foot because they have done things against the law, or against mom or dad, or whatever it may be that got them there. What is this? This is a shaking that came to their life, and they didn't have what they needed to give them a solid ground when the shaking came, and they yielded to these things in their lives. So we go there hoping that we might be able to bring them something that will put stability in their life and cause them to find a sure footing, and God will cause them to have feet like a hind's feet, and they'll be able to climb the rough end of the mountain and make their way out. And when the next shaking comes, they'll be able to stand. I've come here today to encourage somebody. Maybe your life is being shaken. Maybe as a young person, you're being tempted, and you're yielding to this and yielding to that, and you're not sure how to handle it or what to do with it. I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost is in this place, and he will give you a sure footing. And when the shaking comes, young man, young lady, you'll be able to stand in a time of pressure. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's a shaking in our world. Marriages are falling apart. 50% of the people that get married are going to end up in a divorce. And those that remarry, nearly 90% of them will end up in a second divorce. Why? I'll tell you why. Because when the first shaking come, they couldn't stand. And then they didn't add anything to their life. And so when the second shaking came, they fell much faster. You can't do it on your own. You can't figure it out on your own. You can't put it together. There isn't a formula. You can't add this up and cause it to balance. You can't add a chemical here and a chemical there and cause the two equations to come together and everything line up and bring a balance. It doesn't work that way. There's a shaking in our world, and it's not only in our marriages, it's in our minds and in our hearts. Men and women are taking their lives every day, committing suicide because their life is shaken and they don't know what to do with it or how to handle it. But I've come to tell you, the word of God says there is an armor, there is a protection, there is a weapon. God's got something for you today. And if you'll get it in your life, he'll fix your marriage. He'll straighten up your life. He'll put you back on the right path. And he will solidify your grounding. And you will stand in a time of shaking. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Paul, the apostle, said, put on the whole armor of God. And when you've done all you know to do to stand, when you put your effort into it, when you get through playing with, when you get the Rubik cube of life, I know some of you got it figured out, but you ain't got the Rubik cube of life figured out. You might be able to twist and turn that little color thing and put all its little colors lined up, but life's a whole lot more complicated than that. You put that little Rubik's cube of life in your hand and you start turning and you're trying to get everything to line up. God said, when you've done everything you can do, just put that thing down and just stand. This is what the Lord's saying. If you've got my armor on and you can't figure it out and life has given you a blow that you can't straighten up, he said, when you've done everything you know to do to stand, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The armor of God will protect you. I want to tell you, this isn't just any armor Paul's talking about. He called it the armor of God for a reason. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 16 and 17. And he there being God, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Look at verse number 17. It's talking about Jesus. That was the arm of the Lord being born. Jesus, God, manifested in the flesh, walked amongst men. Look at verse number 17. Jesus didn't come naked. He had an armor, for he put on the righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance or clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. When Paul the apostle was describing the armor in Ephesians, he wasn't talking about some armor on a shelf. He was talking about the same armor that Jesus Christ himself had worn. Woo! We're not just talking about any old armor. We're talking about the literal armor of God that he wore when he walked upon this earth. David said, I'll do it. I'll kill that old giant. So Saul brings him in and takes off his helmet, his breastplate, and his and all his armor, and says, here, put all this on. And I know that what we talk about is that when we say this armor hadn't been tried, we're saying David is saying that he had not gone out in the battle tried. But that's not what he was talking about. He was about to fight a giant. And he looked at Saul. And he said, Saul, best to my recollection. That's the word, I think it is. Best to my memory, when I showed up on the scene, you and your armor were hiding behind a rock. You and your armor has never marched down into a valley and fought a giant. You see, Saul, I'm not just sure your armor's going to hold up. Maybe it's not good enough or strong enough. But when Paul the apostle said, put on the armor of God, honey, Jesus has already come. Oh, you're not hearing me. He's already wore the armor. And the Bible says he was tempted in every like manner, but sinned
not. It's been tried. It's been proven. Word told us he cast out devils. The Bible told us he cured the sick. He tried on the armor. He brought it to the playing field. He went to battle with the devil and he won. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Paul's not talking about any old armor. He's talking about the armor of God. It's been proven. It's been tried. If you'll put it on, you'll defeat your enemy. If you'll wear it, you'll kill your giant. If you'll walk out into your valley.
He tried it. With that armor, he cured all diseases. With that armor, he cast out legions of devils. So I'm here to tell you, woo, that I'm whooped. I played frisbee yesterday, ultimate frisbee, with these boys. One game, when I got done, I was breathing worse than this, trust me. But we won. I told them, they picked all the best guys. I said, y'all made a mistake. They picked me last, and I don't blame them. I'm fat and old. I understand and slow. But they passed one thing up, Terrence. God's on my side. I told him, I said, y'all made a mistake. The anointing's on this team. And we beat them. I couldn't play the next game. They lost. I too whoop. I was going somewhere with this. I just can't remember. One of the first things that goes, memory. What are we doing here anyway? Say, but pastor, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I'm going through. He was tempted in every like manner that we are tempted. There's nothing you've ever faced. There's nothing you'll ever go through. There's nothing that'll ever come against you that Jesus Christ did not face with his armor and defeat the devil. I'm here to tell you today, if you'll put it on, if you'll put on the armor of God, you will defeat your enemy. You will overcome drugs. You will overcome alcohol. You will save your marriage. You will reach your children. Woo! You say, but pastor, I can handle it. That shows me you're crazy. And no one handled it. Jesus was the only one. The word of the Lord tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So if you think you're going to be able to handle your situation by your intellect, by your fancy vernacular, by your demeanor or your good looks or your money, I got news for you. The devil is not impressed with any of them. Because he used to be the best looking thing in heaven. And he had the most incredible voice. Huh? He could hit them all. Daddy sang bass. Mama sang tenor. He had the best voice. He had the best looks.
He was clothed in jewels from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He had the most talent. He was the highest lifted up angel in heaven. There's nothing you can do that will impress him. You will never figure this out in the flesh. You will never fix this with your own abilities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Say principalities.
We wrestle against principalities. That word there means the beginning. It means the cornerstone of wickedness. Huh. It means the first of the wicked. So Paul said, we wrestle against principalities. But what he was trying to say in the original Greek, if you could have been there while he was writing, would have understood what he was saying. What he was telling them is that you are wrestling with the same one that Adam and Eve wrestled with. It hasn't changed. And they had everything going for them. They had not even fallen yet. Yet he was so good at what he did. He was able to deceive Eve and able to get Adam to disobey and bring them into disobedience against God. And Paul the apostle is trying to say, if you think for one moment of time that you are going to be able to wrestle and defeat this enemy on your own, it will never happen. You must have the armor of God. In fact, can I tell you, the only one that's ever wrestled him and won was Jesus. And he wore the armor. Lord, I wish this get a hold of somebody. We wrestle against principalities. He says, we wrestle against powers, which means authority and jurisdiction of an area. So if you live in West Palm Beach, Florida, there are demonic powers and spirits which operate in our city. They are assigned to our city. And the first thing Pastor had to do when he came to this city is he had to bind the strong man. Because if you don't bind the strong man, you'll never have revival. You'll never be able to go into his house and take the things back that belong to you. You'll never be able to do it. And the first thing we had to do was bind the strong man. But we didn't do that on our own. We had on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our loins were wrapped around with truth, and we went to battle with the sword of the Spirit, and we conquered the enemy, and revival came, and revival's still here. I'll tell you why this church worships like it worships. I'll tell you why we shout. I'll tell you why we dance and twirl and holler and clap and sing, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're in battle in the spirit realm. And the Bible says if we'll praise him, he'll show up. And we want our captain here. We want our master to be with us in the battle. How about you in the back? Does he need to turn it up? Or y'all? Can y'all hear? I'm just wondering. I thought maybe we filled in the back rows with mannequins. Somebody shout, yeah. Woo. We wrestle against principalities, the original powers of darkness that caused a third of the angels to fall. The original power of darkness that caused the first man and woman to fail when they didn't even know good from evil. The original power of darkness that has crippled many, destroyed with disease. The original power of darkness that has caused men to get so hooked on drugs that they lose their job, their wives, their families, and eventually their life. The original power of darkness is so strong that will cause a man to lay on a hospital bed dying of lung cancer and ask for just one more puff of smoke. The original power of darkness that causes men to lie upon a bed dying of cirrhosis of the liver and cry out for just one more drink to soothe the craving that is in their body. The original power of darkness that will enter into a good family and touch a man or touch a woman and put lust in their heart and cause them to go out to another man or another woman and commit adultery and lose his family, lose his children, lose everything precious to him, and it all falls apart. I'm telling you, you cannot fight this power by yourself. You must have the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You must get the armor of God. Principalities, the original power, and then powers, jurisdiction. You know what that tells me, young man? You know what that tells me, young lady? There are demons assigned to you. They follow you everywhere as you go. They watch your every move. They watch your eyes. They know if you're looking. They know if you're lusting. They learn your desires. They watch everything about you. They know your greed and your envy, your strife. They know when bitterness is getting a hold of you and unforgiveness is in your heart. And they work on these areas. They know when you're lusting after the higher position and will do anything to get it. They watch you. They study you. They do everything. And their job is to destroy you. Because in you is an eternal soul that God breathed into you. It will never die. It will live forever. And its only desire is to get back in touch with God, its creator, its only desire. You can feel it even now when the worship was going on, when God's power was moving through this congregation, while the preaching is being preached, there's something thumping inside of you. And what is this? What is it? What is it? It's your soul saying, do I hear my master's call? Is my master near? Is my creator nearby? And there's something calling out on the inside of you. Calling out. And Satan's job is to put fear in your heart, intimidation in your heart, and to keep you back. Because he knows if you ever take that step forward, nothing's going to stop you. And when God fills you with his power, the helmet's going to go on. Truth's going to go on. The breastplate's going to go on. The sword's going to come out. And the devil's going to be defeated. Principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness. The Bible says that we are commanded to stand against such powers by putting on the armor of God. I'm just going to hold you a few more minutes, music, if you'll come. So please give me your attention. Please focus on what God's doing. What is the armor, Pastor? Well, the first thing he mentions is being girt about the loins of truth. Listen, listen, he didn't say religion. No. He didn't say denomination. He's not concerned about religion. He's not concerned about denomination. The only thing that moves God is truth. Because John 1 and 17 tells us that truth came by Jesus. The word of the Lord tells us. And in John 3 and 21, truth will bring us light. The moment you begin to taste truth, your eyes will become illuminated. The moment you reach out for truth, your spirit will become illuminated.
hesitate it. The moment you begin to hear the voice of God and he speaks the words of truth into you, you will begin to see all kinds of things in your life that are not right. And all of a sudden fear will come into your heart. Not fear of him, but fear of the evil that has surrounded you. And you will want to run to him. And I'm here to tell you that his arms are open wide for you here today. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to put the armor upon you. And the first thing he wants to gird you about is with truth, because that's the only thing that the Father will receive in worship. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And why does he start out with truth? Because truth, according to John chapter 8 and 32, will make you free. Truth will break every chain in your life. Truth will crush every yoke that is upon your neck. Truth will break you free from every habit that is in your life. And so he says the first part of this great garment is truth. For truth is the very foundation upon which your walk of God will be built upon. It must be upon truth. And then he will apply to you the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It's called the breastplate of faith as well. There's something about it. Exodus 28 and 4 tells us that this breastplate was a part of the priestly garment. And verse 15 of the same chapter says it's the breastplate of judgment. And when the breastplate of righteousness comes upon you, it gives you the ability to judge right from wrong. All of a sudden, your hand will reach out to do something you've always done. But something will speak to you and say, no, I don't want you to do that. What's the matter? You got on the breastplate of righteousness, and God is beginning to lead you down that narrow path that so few are able to find. And so we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Enables us to make decisions of right and wrong. It's attached to the ephod, which is the anointing. It's not tied on. It is clamped on with golds of ring, because the breastplate of righteousness is never to be detached away from the anointing. They work together. They are one. They are one. Romans 10 and 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach this gospel and bring glad tidings. You will put on the preparation of the gospel upon your feet, and then the shield of faith comes upon you. We look at the word of God, and we can run through Hebrews real quick, but we just read Hebrews chapter 11 on your own. Enoch was translated by faith. Noah built an ark and saved his family by faith. Abraham forsook sin and sought after God by faith. Moses chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the children of God than enjoy sin but for a season. The walls of Jericho came down by faith. Rahab perished not because of faith. Women receive their dead raised, and the list goes on and on and on, and it all came from faith, because without faith you cannot please God. And there's something rising up. The Bible says to every man, everybody say every man, say that's me. The word of the Lord says the measure of faith was given unto every man. And so you sit in this congregation today with God tugging upon your heart, and he's given you the faith to stand. Take that step and to come forward and to begin to let him clothe you with his armor. You see, Saul represented the world. Saul tried to clothe David with the armor of the world, and that's what the world will do. The world will tell you, you're your own God. They'll tell you, you can figure out your own problems. All you need is a better education. All you need is a little bit more money. All you need is a little bit more persuasion. All you got to do is know the right people. And they'll start putting on the worldly garments. And you'll think you're all set up and ready to go with the armor of the world. But the first shaking that comes into your life, I can't stand. But if you put on the armor of God, who understands we fight not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers and darkness, rulers of wickedness in high places. He knows how to defeat him. It's not just any armor. It's his armor. And he'll put upon your head the helmet of salvation. And you will walk out of this place having your sins remitted, forgiven. Having the power of God placed on the inside of you. Having the sword of the Spirit, which the Bible tells us, the Word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and discern of the soul of the spirit, of the joints and marrow, discern of the thoughts of the intents of the heart. See, only God really knows your heart. And when you begin to put on the armor of God, right there on your side, is the Word. And the beautiful thing about it, Brother Luma, the beautiful thing about it is every time I pull out that sword, watch me now, before it cuts my enemy, it cuts me. And while it's coming out, it shows me, me. And it discerns my thoughts. And I quickly know whether I'm using the sword right before I use it against my enemy. Let's stand. You see, if you're going to stand in the last days, you're going to have the armor of God. If you're going to stop the devil from getting your children, Mom, Dad, listen to this preacher. We live in hard times. The school system is after your kids. Media has been programming our kids to accept things that are wrong as though they are right. When they can get that generation programmed, then that generation grows up and says, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, oh, God loves everybody. Yes, he does. But he hates sin so much that he let it nail him to a cross and shed his blood till he died. If you're going to save your kids, you got to have the armor of God. If you're going to save your marriage, you got to have the armor of God. If you're going to stop the devil from ruining your life, and I am talking to men and women right now, and you know Satan has been messing with you, slowly pushing you to the edge, and you say to yourself, I'll never cross that, I'll never cross that, and the devil, he don't want you to think you crossed the line, so he just keeps moving it for you. The line used to be over there. You're so far past that line, he just keeps moving it for you. I'll never cross that. And that's what the world does. But if you got on the helmet of salvation and God begins to control your thinking, you'll be over here saying, ha, you ain't fooling me. I'm not falling for your tricks. He will make the ways of the adversary aware to you. I'm closing. So the question has to be, how do I put on the armor of God? Romans 13 and 14 says, but you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Ephesians 4 and 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Colossians says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that had created him. Now, you ready? I'm going to tell you how you get the armor. See, we got a family that's about to put on the armor of God today, because they're going to be buried in the name of Jesus Christ. How do I put on that armor? Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, you put on the armor of God. You say, Pastor, but I've been baptized. I don't know if I was baptized that way. When I landed in St. Louis, I got in the cab, being taken over to the hotel before the meeting started that day. And we were riding there in the cab. And so I started up a conversation with the cab driver and asked him if he was local. Yeah. And I said, well, ma'am, where do you go to church? And so we talked a little bit. So I made my way into baptism. And I said, so how were you baptized? And he said, well, I don't know. I was really little when it happened. So I gave him homework. I said, you got homework when you get home. I said, I want you to go home and open your Bible and just go to the back. See, the beautiful thing about truth, when you got truth, you don't have to try to twist up scriptures to convince anybody of nothing. Truth's plain. You just say, you go home, open up your Bible, look up the word baptism, and read all the scriptures on baptism. And then I gave him the address of the local apostolic church there in that area. And I said, then you call up this pastor, and you tell him you want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're going to see that's how the Bible tells you to be baptized, in Jesus' name. So if you're not sure, why don't we get sure? What's that old saying? Better sure than... Isn't that how that goes? No? Oh, okay. All right, I think we say it the other way in Louisiana. Alligators don't know the difference. Better safe than sorry. Amen? So if you can't remember, man, say, preacher, I want to know for sure that I'm wearing the armor of God. Look what Peter says. After Jesus died and resurrected, the Bible tells us in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke that he opened the understanding of his disciples that they might understand the scriptures. He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Remember that? Book of Matthew. And so they all in the upper room, they get all filled with the Holy Ghost and they get all drunk on new wine, Holy Ghost. And they walk out of the upper room and stagger out there and they say, these men are drunk. And the word of the Lord says that Peter stood up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. And then he preached to them the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What is it, in verse 37, what is it that we must do? And so Peter stood up and he said, is that up there, Acts 2:38? Put that on the screen for me. Then Peter said unto them, let's all read this together, will you? Everybody, my guests, my members, my good ones, my evil ones, I want everybody to read this. I'm just kidding. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said power is going to come upon you after that you receive the Holy Ghost. You see, that's how you put the armor of God on. You get buried in his name. Your sins are remitted. It's like putting Holy Ghost grease on you. The devil don't have that grip on you anymore. He used to be able to grab you, but now he just slips off of you because of the blood. And then after you are... I'm just trying to preach here. I was kidding. Let's close our eyes. Reach over, get your neighbor's hand. Praise God. Praise God. You know, for some of us, even though we've already been buried in Jesus' name and we've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know, maybe we let our armor get a little rusty. We might need to fine-tune it, because I'm just here to tell you, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that's what's happening right now. Things are being shaken. And I hope somehow today, maybe some of us that have been letting things go a little bit in our life and we haven't kept our armor in good shape, maybe the Lord's spoken to us today. And we'll understand that if we're not careful, if we think we stand, we just might fall. And if you're here and you're fighting and battling things in your life, confusion and trouble, and you don't know what the answer is, you may not be addicted to anything. You may be a good individual. Things may be well in your life, but there's just trouble. And you just don't have the answers. God wants you to come to him. He wants to baptize you in his name. He wants to fill you with his spirit. In Jesus' name. We're going to begin to play and sing, and Brother Sapp is getting ready here to lead us in song. And I just want to say, this altar is open. And when you've done all you know to do to stand, stand therefore. But you got to have that armor if you're going to stand. So, Dad, I invite you to come. If you're going to raise your family in this world, come. Come, let God put the armor on you. Mom, you know how much you love your children, how much you love your husband. If you're going to be able, you need to come. Let God put the armor on you. Young man, young lady, you know the temptations that are out there, the things that we face every day. Why don't you come? The adversary's after you. He wants that eternal soul that's in you. God put it in you. But the Lord will put an armor on you that will enable you to defeat the devil in your life. And you will live for him, and you will be heaven made ready. If you're with somebody, why don't you just say, hey, let's go down to the altar and pray. Let's go pray. Let's go talk to God. Let's go ask God to touch us. Let's go get this armor shined up in our life, and or let's go get this armor put on. The Lord is here. And if you'll come and repent of your sins, and that's all you have to do, just step out from where you are, sir, ma'am, just step out from where you are. Come to this altar and repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Be merciful to me, Lord. Be merciful, God. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. Every one of us in this building ought to be asking God for forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy upon me, Lord. God, I confess to you. I confess to you. And the word of the Lord says that if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us of thy sins, and you'll feel the power of God touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You're going to begin to feel God touch you. And when you feel God touch you, after you've repented of your sins and you begin to feel God touch you, why don't you raise those hands to him and surrender right now and just begin saying, God, I thank you. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Let him fill you with his spirit. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Just begin to thank him, and he's going to come, put his spirit in your life. He's going to put the armor of God upon you. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put the armor of God upon you, and you're going to be able to defeat your enemy. He's going to make you stronger every day. He's going to give you wisdom and knowledge and power. Let the Lord fill you with the Holy Ghost today, and let Pastor baptize you in Jesus' name. Start a brand new life with God. Start a brand new walk in God, and let God do great things.
Take me as you find me.
All my fears.
All Just lift your hands right now and say, Lord, I'm committing myself to you. I'm committing myself to you in prayer. Amen. I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for my flesh. Amen. But I'm going to, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of my body so that I can live and live more abundant than I've ever lived before. I believe that God's grace is sufficient. I believe that His mercy is everlasting. I believe that this truth will keep me in the midnight hour. I believe that I can pray, and I know that God will hear me, that He will answer, that He will respond to my need and my hurt and my pain and my situation, because I give my life to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to commit myself to praying for the saints. I'm going to commit myself to praying for the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that the church can be equipped, so that the church can become bold. Amen. And begin to preach the gospel of peace to every creature. Hallelujah, to every soul. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I declare, shine your light. Shine your light in. Let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh, shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world see.
For the glory
many believes you can make it? How many believes I can make it? How many would declare I can do all things? Come on, begin to declare the scripture with your mouth. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. The temptation that you're facing right now, the difficulty that your employer has given you, the pain that you've been feeling, that emotional situation that you've been struggling with, you need to declare, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthened me. I can make it. I can make it. I can not just survive this, but I can thrive beyond this. Hallelujah. I can overcome this. The life that you and I have been offered is a life that is more superior than any life known to mankind. It is a life that we know as abundant life. God has all the gifts. God has all the power. God has all the armor. God has everything that you and I will ever need to live in this life and become an overcomer. How many would just say with me, I shall overcome. I shall overcome. Come on, say it and convince yourself. I shall overcome. My trouble, my pain, my problem, my issue, my situation, my struggle. Come on, declare, I shall overcome. I shall overcome. Come on, God's turning your test into a testimony. In the midst of your problem, praise shall go forth. Hallelujah. I believe it was Paul that said, the Lord shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. How many is ready for the enemy of your soul to be bruised? Under your feet. Say, under my feet. Say, under my feet. Because I'm walking in truth. And truth will always triumph over the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, let God be true and every man a liar. That means the opinion of man, it doesn't matter. What matters is the truth. Won't you clap your hands for the truth that you've heard today? God bless you in the name of the Lord, and we hope to see you in just a few moments at the water baptism. We're going to go down in Jesus' name. And all those sins are going to be removed, blotted out from your life. Rise to walk in newness of life. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another. Bless and encourage somebody before you leave. Don't keep all that goodness to yourself, but share it with somebody. Amen. You've been empowered to impact this world.